Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Just peachy keen.
Yeah, how's things now that there's big fires in Florida?
I don't know. I thought the fire was in France.
Fire seems to be anywhere that you know, is a red state for some reason.
Yeah. That's God.
I guess. I mean, we had them here in South Carolina for a while, and now they're down in Florida, in the Everglades. Disney's on fire, you know. It's all crazy. How's your weather?
It's fine.
Yeah.
It's like in the 70s. It's not bad.
Nice. We keep dropping, like we keep going up and down in temperature. One day it's like 67, the next day it's like 82.
That's what we've been going through.
Yeah, you never know how to dress. I think we're finally out of winter, though.
Hopefully.
So that's good.
I mean, it's almost April already. I can't believe fast time's going.
Yeah, it's been going pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
What have you been up to besides work?
Nothing, really.
Nothing?
It's really just work, yeah. I'm a slave. No rest.
No rest for the weary?
Nope.
Oh.
Not at all.
I had a have you ever bought anything from walmart.com to have delivered to your house?
No.
So the last time I was in a Walmart, my kid and I were looking around the physical media section. And I had noticed that they had a set of Doctor Who DVDs. It was like the first four Doctors since the reboot. So it was like Eccleston, Tennant, Matt Smith, and Peter Capaldi. And it was every episode, every special. It was like 21 discs for like $40. And I was like, that's not bad for, you know, physical copies of Doctor Who. And I went back a couple of weeks later and I was like, I really should pick up those discs, and they weren't there. And I got on the app and it said, we can deliver them today to you. I said, awesome. This was a Sunday. Sunday comes, and Sunday night at around 8 PM that said, oh, it's delayed. It's going to be delivered to you Monday, by 8 PM or something. Monday comes and goes, nothing. The thing still says delayed. So on Tuesday, I'm like, okay, what the fuck? Do I need to cancel this? And I get on their chat, and this guy named Benny was helping me. And he said, let me take a look. Okay, I don't know why it's delayed. It should have gotten to you. And I said, well, if I need to cancel it, that's fine. He was like, no, I'll get this to you today. And I said, are you sure it's going to come today? Because if not, I'm going to cancel it. And he was like, no, I'm going to get a driver to show up right now and bring it to you. And I was like, all right, whatever. And then, you know, I guess they use like canned responses for some of it. And one of the responses to me was like, well, this item is super popular, so we had to find one for you. And I was like, there's a rush on Doctor Who DVDs? Because and I didn't get an answer for that. And then he was like, all right, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to send you a $10 coupon for your next order. And I was like, yeah, whatever. Like, I'm going to order anything else.
Right.
And it'll be there today. And I said, okay, I'm going to take your word for it. And he comes back and he goes, it's such a blessing talking to you. And I was like, okay. And he was like, you were so pleasant. And I was like, yeah, I'm a fucking delight. And he kept going on and on. He was like, I guarantee it'll be there today. I said, okay, by what time? And he was like, by 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock comes, okay. 8 o'clock goes. And I'm like, I'm getting ready to just cancel it. 9:10, a car pulls up to the front of the house and drops off the DVDs. And I was like, are you fucking kidding? I was like, you made this poor person work like 10 after 9 to fucking show up to my house with DVDs? Like, it's right. Just such a weird experience. Like, I guess I'm just so jaded by the service that, like, Amazon still offers. Like, for the most part, like, when Amazon says something's coming, it's coming that day. Like, it's been very rare right. where I get a thing, it's like, oh, this is delayed. It's going to show up tomorrow. But, like, Walmart, I don't know, man. It's just a cesspool. And if I could have found these discs anywhere else, I would have.
Mm-hmm.
But it was, like, an exclusive to Walmart. And everywhere else was, like, DVDs of like the first two Doctors, so Eccleston and Tennant, and they were like, it was like $45 for just those. So I was like, well, fuck, I mean, if I can get them. So I've started a Doctor Who rewatch.
Did you immediately open them and start watching them that minute?
No, the next day.
Oh.
Because it's 10 after 9. Like, come on.
That's past your bedtime.
Well, one, I had to figure out, because something I did not realize when I ordered them was we only really have one DVD player in the house anymore because most of the shit is streaming now, and right. that's downstairs. And I was like, I don't really have a way to watch these in my studio. And then I remembered that my PlayStation 4 will play DVDs, so... That's how I've been watching them. But, you know. Early Doctor Who is very hard to watch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, go back to the Tom Baker days.
Well, yeah, but, like, even when they brought it back, they were still in that, looks like it was shot on video.
Right.
You know, the first Creature of the Week thing is living plastic. And so all the mannequins come alive and try to kill people.
Okay.
And I don't really think they hit their groove until like David Tennant shows up, so. But I will stick it out. So all I right. can say I watched all the Eccleston stuff.
I don't quite remember. I probably have not watched a complete season up until the recent couple of years when there's only like, you know, 4 episodes.
Yeah. I mean, Doctor Who has always been shorter seasons. They've always been like 6 or 7 episodes per.
Uh-huh.
Just because that's the way they do it in England. Isn't the original series of The Office like 6 episodes and they were done? And then, like, here it ran for, like, 12 years.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Did you watch this week's Daredevil?
I did.
Yeah, what'd you think?
I'm not sure what direction it's going.
Yeah.
I thought... The scene with Fisk eating his dinner and the kid who was working for him locked up in a cage was kind of intense.
I mean, that is revealing the Fisk that everybody kind of remembered from the Netflix show.
Right. Right.
And that it's still buried within him and he hasn't changed. Mm-hmm. And
right.
Apparently. So, Punisher shows up in this one, Frank Castle, for a brief stint, and apparently it came out after the episode that part of the reshoots for Daredevil was to change their Punisher storyline.
Right.
Apparently, John Bernthal didn't like the direction that it was going in and was asking to be removed from the plot.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kind of retooled everything so that he was happy with the character. So I'm assuming we're going to get a ton more Punisher within this series.
Right.
And apparently this was originally supposed to happen later in the series itself, like this confrontation between Matt and Frank.
Oh, okay.
And they moved it earlier, I guess, because they have more Punisher to put in.
Okay.
What else have you been watching?
Severance.
Yeah, what'd you think of the finale?
Jesus Christ, what the hell did I watch?
A culmination of the last two seasons, basically.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I thought Severance has some of the most interesting writing on television at this point. Their whole thing with Mark talking to himself through the video camera, I thought was done amazingly well.
Yeah.
They didn't, like, you knew exactly who was talking and who was listening. There was never a doubt of, like, which version of Mark this was. You know, it's the Innie trying to understand the Audis' reasoning for him wanting to basically kill the Innie.
Right.
But at the same time wanting to save his Audi's wife.
It was so confusing to me because it's like, but it's not that there's two separate Marks running around, right?
Well, so depending on what floor he's on is what version of him it is.
Right, but there's still only one physical body.
Yes. Yes, it's a split. It's basically a split conscience. And when he's on the severed floor, he's Innie Mark. Basically, when he's anywhere else, he's Audie Mark. And those two people are opposed to each other's desires, basically. But
okay,
Innie Mark understands that Audie Mark's wife is being held against her will, basically.
Right.
And so he's trying his best to get to where he needs to get to because there's some weird bleed through that was happening with what they were doing to Mark on the outside with, like, the brain surgery, basically. Where okay. He's able to see some of the memories from Innie Mark, which he's not supposed to be able to do. Because I guess those memories are there. They're just locked away due to the chip. And that they know, each one of them now understands because they've talked to one another what they should be doing in order to get the wife out. But then Innie Mark at the end decides that that's not the woman that he loves. So he's going to run away with Helly.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing, like, conclusion to a season that kind of dragged along in some instances to where you were like, okay, well, what is this going to be? And then it all kinds of comes together towards the end.
Yeah.
I really liked the thing where, he's taken the guy hostage in the elevator. And he's got the bolt gun that he was going to kill the sheep with in his hand.
Right.
And the transition to the other Mark makes him pull the trigger. And he wakes up to this guy like bleeding all over the place onto him. Like, I thought that was done really well. I think Adam Scott has proved that he's a really decent actor. You know, it kind of reminds me of what's her name? The one who did what was the name of that show? The girl with all the different personalities, or the versions of herself.
Poker Face.
No.
Black Mirror.
No. She was She-Hulk. Tatiana. Black Orphan. That's what it was called.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So she played like all different versions of women that look just like her, and like,
right,
there would be a scene with three of them and you would swear it was three different people. Like, Adam Scott is pulling those vibes for me at this point. Like, when he's talking to himself in the camera, it is two different versions of that character,
right?
And very very obvious that they each have their own kind of wants and needs, and the other one's not listening to them. And I don't know. I really enjoyed it. I really thought it was done really well.
I'm glad we finally know why the sheep are there.
Yeah. I guess to be sacrificed for something.
Yeah. Supposedly it's to help guide, like in this case, help guide Gemma to be with Keir.
Okay.
Wherever that is.
Okay.
Whether it's heaven or hell or.
Maybe they'll explain it in future seasons, but like, the whole thing with the numbers and what Mark was doing was to give her a new personality. So right. Were they going to give her a new personality and then kill her? Like, was she to be sacrificed? Like, I wasn't, that was the part that I was a little fuzzy on, but I don't know. I'm sure they'll explain it.
Yeah. There's still too many questions.
Too many questions. What else did you watch?
I found something new that I think you might like.
Okay, hit me.
It's on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And it's called The Residence.
Okay.
It's kind of a cross between Only Murders and Knives Out.
Oh, okay.
And it's a murder mystery that happens in the White House.
Oh.
And there's a lot of like how they do the storytelling on Only Murders, that it's like they keep jumping back and forth to different moments in the timeline.
Okay.
Which is really interesting. The cast is really eclectic. Bronson Pinchot, Giancarlo Esposito.
Okay.
Uzo Aduba.
Okay.
Jane Curtin.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, very, very interesting cast. Al Franken plays a senator, which I think is hilarious.
Oh, I had read something about him playing a senator in something. Okay.
Yeah.
So is it like suspense? Is it comedy? Is it like...
It's both.
Okay.
It's both. You'd have to watch it to figure out what's going on.
Okay.
But there's a big, big state dinner going on, and the head usher is found dead. Looks like a suicide, but there's no real blood. So they're trying to figure out who's, you know, who did what, and everybody's got a motive, and
okay,
very quirky, but they do some really cool stuff visually.
Okay.
Like they showed like a shot, a wide shot of the White House with like the back wall removed, so it's kind of like a dollhouse.
Okay.
And then the camera goes flying into one of the rooms and through the house, and it's really cool.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, they do some cool stuff.
Okay.
But yeah, I think you would like it.
Okay.
I'm only, well, I guess I'm 4 episodes in, so I'm halfway in. There's only 8.
Okay.
But it's really well done. It's really interesting. The dynamics of what's going on and how you can't really be sure of who's, you know, who's really the suspect.
Yeah.
So it yeah, I think you would like it.
Okay. I'm adding that to my list. I watched a movie on Netflix called Land of Bad this week.
Okay.
It stars 2 of the 3 Hemsworth brothers. As
the least 2 popular ones.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, and basically it's a military unit that's sent in to, find a captured agent, and I think it's the youngest Hemsworth. He's new to the unit, and shit goes sideways, and he's got to try to get out.
Okay.
It's a very by the numbers action film. It's got Russell Crowe in it. So it keeps cutting between like the guys on the ground, and then Russell Crowe, who is, he's not a drone pilot, but he's like an information officer for the drone. So like he's the one that's like clearing them to fire missiles from the drone. And he's the one that's kind of directing the drone where to go. And so they're okay. Working back and forth together to get this guy out and stuff. And, it's so weird to see how far Russell Crowe has come from his early days, where he basically looks like he's eaten the young Russell Crowe.
Yes.
And like they've got him in this Hawaiian shirt, and the Hawaiian shirt should be kind of baggy, but it's not. And it's like, why did he not look in the mirror and be like, can I have something bigger? But I don't know. I mean, and it also shows you like there's just a lot of people that'll just do this shit for money. That's just going to go on Netflix and just live there.
Oh, you mean like Happy Gilmore too?
Yeah. I mean, all that stuff. Like it's there, there's nothing that where you're like, they're never going to like nominate Russell Crowe for a Netflix movie about like the military. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess at some point Netflix will have more new content, whether it be good or bad, on in a given year than any other like channel.
Yeah.
And some of it'll be cool and some of it'll just be shit. I also have been watching Reacher on Amazon. I think that they're going by the books for like the storyline, because it seems very well contained for like an Amazon show.
Okay.
And they only have one episode left, so it's paced extremely well for like, you know, an action show. But if you like kind of like intrigue and stuff and big muscly men, I mean, I'm sure Reacher might be your thing, because he's constantly taking off his shirt and standing in his underwear and stuff.
Well, I guess he knows what works.
Yeah, I'm sure they're like, hey, you want to like be jacked and stand there naked? Sure. Did you happen to see the, we had talked about a couple of weeks ago, the YouTube channel Cinema Relics? You remember talking about that? Did you see that they put up something yesterday about Rick Moranis sat down for an interview about Honey, I Shrunk the Kids?
Yeah.
It's really weird because I don't know if that is taken from something else.
Right.
Because it kind of starts in the middle of the interview. And I don't know if they sat down to talk with him about everything and this was just the Honey, I Shrunk the Kids stuff.
Hmm.
But like, there's no mention of Ghostbusters. There's no mention of, there's one shot of him in Spaceballs, because they talk about how in his career, he's worn a lot of weird headpieces.
Okay.
So like the Dark helmet, there's the stuff that he wears in Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. He wears the colander on his head for Ghostbusters. And he was like, yeah, I've thought about that too. But they don't mention anything other than Honey, I Shrunk the Kids. So I don't know if they sat down with him or if this was something for the Disney thing that they never cut in.
Oh, maybe.
I don't know. They're really like, I don't want to say deceptive because that's probably the wrong word, but it's very strange that like the way that all their stuff is edited. Because I'm pretty sure the Tron stuff came from the TV show.
Right.
You know, I think they did a video a couple of weeks ago about the Sankara stones from Indiana Jones that I think is new. And I think he's just like going back and forth with all this shit.
Yeah, it is weird.
So I'm not sure. But it was nice to see Rick Moranis again. He very famously stopped acting to take care of his family after his wife died.
Yeah.
And he hasn't really been in a whole lot. He was in a couple of Mint Mobile ads with Ryan Reynolds. But he's been pretty low key the entire time.
Kind of bizarre.
Yeah. We had a quasi-celebrity death this week.
We did.
George Foreman, the spokesman for your favorite indoor grill, passed away at 76, which I guess is pretty good for a boxer. I guess the story goes that if, well, I guess it depends on who you believe, but Hulk Hogan has always said that George Foreman became the spokesperson for the grill because Hulk Hogan wasn't home when they called to ask him if he wanted to, I guess, be the spokesperson for it. And he wound up with a blender, and George Foreman ended up with the grill. And the grill was super, you know, I think everybody had a George Foreman grill at some point.
Right.
I mean, I know I had one. I don't know if you did.
I did not.
Yeah. Just weird.
He had 7 daughters and 5 sons.
All named George.
All named George.
Yep.
George the Third, George the Fourth, George the Fifth, George the Sixth.
That's weird that's a, you can do that.
Yeah.
You would think that there'd be some kind of law, but maybe not.
At one point, he was getting paid $8 million a month for advertising the grill.
Fuck, man. That's good money if you can get it.
Well, according to MSN, Hogan passed up the chance to endorse the grill and picked a meatball maker instead.
Oh. I mean, Hogan's a big liar anyway, so who knows?
It was the Hulkamania meatball maker.
Sure.
I guess it depends on who you talk to, because Hogan insists that he didn't answer the phone, and other people are insisting that Hogan said, no, give it to your other client. All right.
So 30 years ago, Hulk Hogan's agent came to him with an important opportunity after a series of failed ventures. For example, a Florida restaurant called Pasta Mania. Hulk's agent thought it would be a good idea to simply put his name on a physical product that he could endorse. Hulk was intrigued. The agent presented Hulk with 2 products to choose from. The first was an innovative folding grill. The second was a meatball maker. Hulk chose the meatball maker that would ultimately prove to be one of the worst business decisions ever. Hulk met with his agent and was given 3 options for products to endorse: a grill, a meatball maker, and a blender. According to an interview Hulk gave in 2011, this is exactly how the conversation with his agent went down. The agent said, you should get into these things, kitchen appliances, put your name on something. Hulk said, well, what have you got? The agent said, well, I've got this meatball maker. It pounds the meatballs when you clench your arm muscles and press fits together. Hulk said, that's fantastic. I want the Hulkamania meatball maker. What about the other thing, the grill? The agent asked. Hulk said, give it to your other client. And thus, George Foreman's massive fortune was made.
Wow.
Yeah.
If only.
Yeah.
We'd have the Hogan grill?
I guess. Hulkamania grill or something stupid. The interesting thing is, I don't think that the meatball maker ever came out. The mixer did.
Yeah.
But I don't see anything online that shows me the Hulkamania meatball maker. It's usually just a picture of him with a plate of meatballs next to him. But there is actual like product shots of the Thunder mixer.
The blender?
Yeah. The Hulk Hogan Thunder Mixer. Now you can mix up your favorite recipes anywhere and anytime. It's in just seconds. It's so easy. And there's just a picture of him in spandex on the cover making a muscle.
Right.
Well, that's good that Hulk doesn't have the fortune that, that George Foreman did. Otherwise, he'd probably have given it all to MAGA. Yeah, I guess the meatball machine never came out.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
Maybe there's still a chance we could get in on the ground floor.
Nah, he's selling beer now. He has a beer company. Real American Beer.
Of course it is.
Oh, so apparently Hogan has told so many lies that the idea of the meatball maker may have just been made up by him.
No, see, I would believe that.
So would I. Because I don't know if you know the other lies that Hogan has told in his career. But he once told the lie that he had auditioned to be the bassist in Metallica.
Okay.
And then Metallica was like, who? And he said, we've never even considered him at any point in our career as bass player for our band.
Wow.
So he tells a whole shitload of lies. So I'm more than willing to believe that that's just another lie. He says he wrestled 400 days in 1 year somehow.
400.
He was supposed to play and even got approached to play bass for Metallica and the Rolling Stones. Dan Aronofsky apparently offered him the lead in The Wrestler multiple times, and Aronofsky said that Hogan was never even once considered. He claims he fought pride fighters in the 70s. The pride fighting wasn't founded until 97. He says he partied with John Belushi after Mania 2 in 86, but John Belushi passed away in 82. claims Mike Tyson was too scared to work with him in WCW and had to cancel a program with him in WWF after Tyson lost a boxing match. Says Elvis was a Hulkamaniac. Elvis, while known as a wrestling fan, was gone before Hulk Hogan even existed. Like, just weird shit.
Wow.
So, yeah. But I guess he did open a restaurant called Pasta Mania at some point. What else have you been watching this week? Anything?
No. No. Are you looking forward to the Big Bang Theory spinoff? Stewart fails to save the universe?
So here's my problem with that is it's supposed to be him and like Brian Posehn, right?
Right.
Neither one of those characters was strong enough to like carry their own episode. Let alone a TV show.
Well, I think they're putting all the people who never got to be their own you know, never made that big of an impact, like the two of them and Kripke. They may as well throw Raj back in there.
Yeah.
I guess it's still not officially greenlit.
Okay.
But I saw somewhere that Kaley Cuoco and Melissa Rauch both said that they would definitely be open to returning.
But why? Like, don't they have anything else going on?
Well, Priceline commercials and Night Court.
Yeah, well, okay.
Yeah. Very odd to think that they would go into a spinoff this early.
Well, I mean, they spun off Young Sheldon and then spun off a spinoff with his older brother, right?
Right. Maybe they figure that if people are interested in these tertiary characters, they'll just keep doing them.
Maybe. And like Kevin Sussman, did he have anything else going on? And maybe they felt like they needed to move on it because
somebody else would.
Or, you know, he's getting to a point where it wouldn't make sense unless they did it now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
He really doesn't have much going on.
I think it's funny that, like, it's not even listed as an upcoming thing for him as an actor. Very strange.
He plays Bipolar Man in a movie called Hurricana that's upcoming and it's in post.
In the hours surrounding a glamorous appearance at a championship boxing match, supermodel Anna Nicole Smith, her psychiatrist, and her lover form a disastrous trio and descend towards chaos, is what Hurricana is about.
And it stars Holly Hunter. Is Holly Hunter playing? No, Holly Hunter can't be playing Anna Nicole.
No. Sylvia Hoax? Hoax? Is she the one that's going to be playing her?
Oh, she could.
Oh, she was in Blade Runner 2049. I mean, she doesn't have the body to pull off Anna Nicole Smith, but I guess they could do that with prosthetics.
Right. Maybe Holly Hunt is the psychologist?
Maybe.
Hmm.
I mean, the names of these characters is something interesting. There's dentist. And smoking
yeah,
pot marked man
job descriptions,
yeah,
except for Don King.
Matthew Gilmore is playing somebody called Clueless. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
weird. Did you see Snow White yet?
God, no. No interest whatsoever.
No?
Nope. I hear it's dreadful. I hear Gal Gadot is horrible.
Well, she's not really a great actress anyway.
Well, of course not.
I mean, she's basically the same character in everything she does.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just to the point where it's just Gal Gadot, whatever, however she pronounces it.
Right.
You know. Although I think it's kind of funny that the staff picks on IMDb has Snow White as one of their ratings, even though it's got a 2.2 out of 10 with 34,000 ratings.
Wow.
Yeah.
Poor thing.
You think Rachel Zegler will ever work again?
Apparently she's going to London to do a Vita on stage.
77% of the user ratings for Snow White is a 1-star rating.
Well, at least I got a 1-star.
Out of 10?
Yeah. Got something.
They should have just put this on Disney Plus. Just kind of, you know, written it off.
Yeah.
Like they did with Cruella. But, like, Cruella was actually decent.
Right.
From what I understand, in the movie, there is no Prince Charming. And the magical creatures of Snow White and the magical creatures fame of what this mm-hmm. was originally supposed to be make an appearance at some point.
Okay.
I don't know. I'm not going to watch it to find out, but you know. I just can't imagine like this being like your first thing and you're all excited to be in a Disney movie. You're remaking Snow White and then this is what it turns into.
Well, it's not her first thing.
No, but I mean, just like some of the actors, this has got to be their first gig.
Oh, yeah.
You know, to be all excited about it. And you're in Snow White. You think this will be like the new, like, low bar that people talk about? Like, well, it's got to be at least better than Snow White.
Yeah.
I mean, she doesn't have a great track record. She was in the Shazam sequel. She was in West Side Story. I mean, her first gig was being directed by Steven Spielberg. That's crazy. And then it was all downhill from there. She did Shazam, the Hunger Games movie nobody saw, Y2K, whatever that is, and Snow White.
Wow.
What is Y2K? What's New Year's Eve, 1999, the last party before Y2K. Two high school nobodies make the decision to crash the last major celebration before the new millennium on New Year's Eve, 1999. The night becomes even crazier than they could ever have dreamed when the clock strikes midnight. This is how you know that we are now in the realm of movies being made by people who were not alive at the time when the movies are taking place.
Right.
Because Y2K, while there was some panic a couple of years before that, 2000 happened pretty, you know, it just came. Like, there wasn't anything big, nothing like shut down.
Right.
Like, they had taken care of the problem way before that ever happened. But I guess there's some bloody violence and strong sexual content.
Really?
According to this?
Oh, well, that's what I look for in a family-friendly film.
Oh, what was the thing that I saw on Netflix? Hang on. Where's my recommended thing? I saw something... fuck, where is it? It's not limited... I can't remember if it was a movie or if it was a TV show. It was about when I read the description of it, it was that it was a group of like special forces soldiers that had to be recalled to action after like hanging out in Las Vegas. And okay. one of the things was like, this is a movie filled with penises and explosions. Where the fuck is it? Only on Netflix. Is it only on Netflix? It's called Obliterated. No, I don't want to play it. I want to see the trailer. Where's the trailer? So it's a TV show, and I don't know if I'm going to be finding the one that actually had the thing in it. But it was this weird thing of like, if you like cocaine and boobs and this and that, this is the show for you. And then it was like filled with penises and explosions. And I was like, who are they marketing this to? Of course, now it's not going to play. Because now I want to talk about it.
Of course.
Yeah. Nothing's going to. Okay. But I mean, if you're interested in that kind of stuff, it's called Obliterated.
Okay.
And it's an 8-episode, hour-long, whatever. CNN calls it just plain fun. That helps. I mean, C. Thomas Howell is the only person in it that I recognize their name for. So take that with a grain of salt, too. Yeah, I don't know why it's not autoplaying. But I mean, that's some of the, that's the kind of thing that they're like making for Netflix now. Well, how come that one autoplays and that one doesn't? What the fuck? I don't know. I can't figure out technology. I'm getting old. Very weird. All right. You got anything else for this week?
Been busy. Yeah. No.
No.
All right. No.
All right. I guess we can leave it there then. If you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on YouTube and Facebook and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
Mind putting the hatchet down?